God to help us. Lord Jesus, oh, how we rejoice, Lord, at the testimony of Thy people, Lord. As You lead them from grace to grace and glory to glory, Lord, to certain victory in You. How wonderful, Lord, that You do lead Your sheep, Lord, and they know that You are the shepherd. Praise the Lord. And all the rest of us are just helpers, Lord. Oh, Jesus, we point to You. We point to You always, Lord, because You are the only one that can meet our needs and lead us safely, Lord, through this pilgrimage. Praise Your name. We thank You for the things that we've heard, Lord, for answered prayer. So wonderful. So wonderful. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise Your name. Yes, Lord, we come to You tonight. We ask You to tonight, Lord, to just help us so that when we leave this place, Lord, that our needs will be met, Lord, for tonight, Lord, and we'll be ready to face tomorrow and really move on, Lord, in absolute victory without any doubt or amazement. But we will know that You are with us and are leading us. Bless the children in the Royal Rangers, we pray, and the little girls, Lord. Help them and bless them and those that are working with them. We thank You, Lord, for the retreat and those that were helped. Sister Purdy, we give praise unto You, Lord, for all this that You have done. Now, Lord, forgive us our many sins, we pray, and help us to be forgiving so that there will be no bitterness. Whatever, Lord, we will not be burned by the things of the world or the church or anything, but we will be free and free from fear and free from our self-imposed exact duties, Lord, and just free to serve You, to be ourselves, and to rejoice in Jesus. Hallelujah. Now help us, Lord, and we'll be careful to give You all the praise in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. You may be seated. We'll turn to Psalms 18. Verses 1 through 6. It's only 72 in there. Fan or so. Back there like she's on fire. All right. Here we go. Psalm 18, verses 1 through 6. And here we go. I will love Thee, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust. My buckler and the horn of my salvation and my high tower. I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from mine enemies. The sorrows of death compassed me, and the floods of ungodly men made me afraid. The sorrows of hell compassed me about. The snares of death prevented me. In my distress I called upon the Lord and cried unto my God. He heard my voice out of His temple, and my cry came before Him, even into His ears. It's amazing, isn't it? You think David, King, excuse me, would not have problems as bad as all this. But I don't know what the man did to get himself in such hot water all the time. But he was in trouble, it seems, most of the time. Now, we heard some testimonies about this tonight, Bonnie's and others, the Lord becoming our strength. And then we're talking about that this morning. Blessed are the poor in spirit, those who do not trust themselves, those who come to an end of themselves. And when we're young Christians, we're able to do it. But after a while down the path, that finally gets through to us, and that's not an easy thing to learn, that there's little that we can do. what it's got. And in Habakkuk 2:4, you know, this the Lord being your strength is better felt than telt. I mean, you can say it and people say, oh yes, the Lord is my strength, the Lord is my strength. But it's when you get in a place that you're knocked down and you're helpless that this becomes true. It takes some of us a while to get knocked down because we're pretty strong. In Habakkuk 2:4, and I'm reading from the whatever this Bible is here. Behold, as for the proud one, this is the one person who's rich in spirit, his soul is not right within him, but the righteous will live by his faith. And Paul quotes this 3 times in the New Testament. And people have meant that this means that we're saved by an affirmation of faith. That isn't what it means. That wasn't what the just shall live by faith doesn't mean that we're saved by an affirmation of doctrine. That isn't what it means. That we're saved by a belief in doctrine rather than by good works. That isn't what Habakkuk is talking about or Paul. What it means is the opposite of living by our own strength. And I think that's what God was saying to Bonnie. If I help you, you'll be cut off from me. You can read all these things and I'll help you. And you'll be a strong person. You'll be organized. And you'll have it. Once you get a thing organized, that would be wonderful to be organized, wouldn't it? Yeah? Wouldn't it be wonderful to be organized? And you know, God keeps... I think there's some people that could never be disorganized. I think they couldn't live, and I think God knows that. But you're missing something, because when God gets in and he messes up our act to where we can't get it together, and we finally, sometimes he has to bring us to physical weakness to do this, because some of us are very strong people of order. I love order myself. But I have not been able to accomplish it, lo, these many years, 25 years or more. I can't even get my tools hung up in the right place. And I'm just old enough and tired enough, I simply don't care. When I need something, I say, Lord, where is this? You know, that's an awful place to be in. But when I don't get it this way, and I get frustrated, I could scream, you know, when I know something is supposed to be in a certain place and it isn't there. I could scream, and I have screamed too, sometimes by myself, usually by myself, because of the frustration should be there, and it isn't. Somebody's going to hang for this. And I think God is trying to get me to the place. The Lord has showed me several times, if you just cool down, I will show you where it is. But this is difficult if you're a person that likes system. Because system makes it predictable, and that gives us strength, and we can manage without the Lord, thank you. We can do it. But this idea of having everything scrambled, where you can't get a hold of it, and you can't even hold up your head sometimes because people ask you stuff, you're not prepared, this is wrong, that's wrong, this other... It's hard for some types of people. It's hard for me, very difficult for me. But that's part of the Lord becoming our strength. I'm not saying we should be sloppy. I don't think anybody means that. We're not talking about laziness or sloppiness. We're talking about the Lord getting into the act and messing with you to where you can't do it. Always keeping you off balance. Boy, you just got it all together except 1/10. And that 1/10 kills you because you can't get a hold of it. It keeps messing up the thing. And we can rage and fume and try to do, but very often that's the Lord's 1/10. And he keeps a hold of that and always keeps us off balance. And that way, the excellency of the power is of God and not of us. It's very distressing until we just let go and say, all right, if that's the way it is, that's the way it is. And then that's what is being mentioned tonight. Then you get such peace. You realize, well, I don't have to do it anyway. It's just my own standard. This is the way I want it. And God, you know, Paul said something very interesting. It just hit me the other day. Paul said, the things that were gained to me, those I count as loss for Christ. And I've always in my mind twisted that around to where it said, the things which were gained for me, those I count as loss for me. as though I lost something by being strong in myself. But that isn't what it says. It says the things that were gained for me were lost for Christ. And it hit me that Jesus loves us so much that He wants to be so in everything that we think and do that we're dependent on Him for everything. We don't turn anywhere else to any other person. He gets jealous if we do that. Or to any system or thing, but little by little He corrals our thoughts and our deeds and our actions and our abilities and everything until we are dependent on Him for everything. And in any area of our life that we can do it without the Lord's help, whether it's taping a good seam or playing grace notes or whatever our line is, whatever we do, that we can do without Jesus is lost not for us. It's lost for Him. Only love can figure out why that is like that. But it has to do with because Jesus wants to be so much into us and so much a part of us that we're looking to Him for everything. Praise the Lord. And that's how the just live. And that's what it means to live by faith. It doesn't mean that we believe in the Godhead or the atonement or anything. That isn't what it means. His soul, behold us for the proud one. That's the person who can do it. I can do it. Thank you. I don't need help. How many know that there are people, of which we all are probably one, that love to help others but can't stand being helped? Does that ring a bell? Now, you may not be that proud. But there are people, if you ask them, you say, look, I'm sick, would you come and do the dishes? They would come and do the dishes and vacuum the rug and fluff the pillows and feed the dog and cat and have a ball. But if they need help, they will not ask for it. You know anybody like that? I mean, like that lives somewhere close to your neck? Huh? Oh, boy. Sometimes we are so strong to help other people, but when we need help, we can't take it. And when I was having a kind of a weakness with the ticker or whatever it was a couple years ago, the men came out and painted my house. It needed it bad. The paint was coming off, and I didn't have enough strength to walk. I could get down the hill, but I couldn't walk back up the hill. I just felt rotten. And every time I look at that house, and that was a good job, and the paint is stayed, and I look at it, and I thank God for those men that did that. I could paint it today, but I couldn't do it then. And that was so hard, but it was such a blessing to have them come and minister like that. I've had to learn a lot of things since I've been in the ministry, because I have never had to look for other people for money or for anything else, for that matter. I did it myself by what I think was hard work and whatever abilities I had. And to get in a place where you have to trust other people for money and help? Not me. Oh, what a death you die. Well, behold, as for the proud one, his soul is not right within him. See, blessed are the poor in spirit. But the righteous will live by his faith. And that's contrasted not with unbelief, but with pride. Praise the Lord. Blessed are the poor in spirit. The Lord, I love thee, O Lord, my strength. But we only learn that in small degrees because it isn't something that you get in your head and do. It's something that happens through the breaking down of your own abilities until you come up out of the wilderness leaning on your beloved. That is so difficult for us, especially if we're people of ability, to let go, not in a right way, not out of carelessness, but when we get to that place where we just can't do it, it's stressful, we're burdened, we're not meeting our own standards, we're not even doing things that we think are the right thing to do. We may be weak, frustrated, it isn't working, and just to turn over and say, oh God, if it's going to get done, you do it. That's a hard thing to learn, and it can only be learned through experience. And we can fight it, but when we finally say, like Brother Fullerton, when he was dying, it preached healing, and was so embarrassed because he was dying sick. He was dying of tuberculosis in Arizona. And he had been active preach healing for many years, a Pentecostal minister, and he fought that thing. the sickness, and a voice came to him and said, if you hold on, I'll heal you. Another voice came and said, you're complete in him. And he knew one voice was of God and one voice was not. And he didn't know which was which. If you hold on, I'll heal you. You're complete in him. And him getting sicker. He's living in Sunny Slope at the time. Had his slop bucket in his tent. Getting weaker. Dying with tuberculosis. Preacher of healing. Assembly of God minister. Started churches, many churches throughout Arizona. An outstanding man. Presbyter. Hang on, I'll heal you. You're complete in him. Which one is of God? Which one would you say is of God? He was hanging on and getting weaker. Hanging on. I heard this from his own lips. I heard the testimony from him himself. And he ended up in the hospital. He was in an oxygen tent. Hanging on till God would heal him. And finally, he was dying. And he said, Lord, I preached healing. I've stood for healing. I've been a witness for healing. I can't hold on any longer. I give up. And when he said that, the Holy Spirit spoke to him and said, that is what I've been waiting for. And God raised him. See, this hang on, I'll heal you was not God. It was striving. It was religious pride. See, I preached healing, my testimony. God doesn't give that for our testimony. What does God care about our testimony? Here we're trying to carry the rock. We don't have to carry. That's right. We don't have to carry the rock. But boy, it's hard to learn that. The rock carries us. And he was trying to carry the rock of the testimony of healing. That was not his to carry. God took it out of his hands. Oh God, I give up. God took him out of the hospital. And it was after that experience that I heard him preach the rest of God. But you have to experience these things. You can hear about them with the hearing of the ears. But there comes a time when God reveals it to you personally. And then you say, oh yes, that's what it's about. So all any minister does, I guess, is just give a testimony, but it's the Lord that has to do it. David knew the strength of the Lord because of the many, many times he was battered down by circumstances. You read his life, you could see the great enemies that he had. The Lord is my rock. We're going to have to know this in the days to come. It isn't quite so obvious now. But the pressures are going to mount on us in America until we are either going to fall from the fear and the pressure, or we are going to find the rock Christ Jesus and stand on it. And I don't care how black the future looks. I don't care what the days to come brings forth. It does not matter. Christ is not going to fail. If we get to the place where there's an earthquake and a flood and a war on top of it, and there is nothing left that we recognize, no help from any visible source, if we will remember this psalm and stand, we will survive, and not only that, but do what God wants us to do without missing a beat. You say, that's impossible. You say, the food is gone. The transportation is gone. I don't have enough clothes to ward off the cold. My children have no milk. How can you stand on the rock? Think of the things in the Bible. Do you realize that God fed 2 or 3 million Israelites in the wilderness for 40 years by food sent down from heaven? He fed the adults and the children. That was angels' food, Psalm says. Angels' food. They were in a wilderness. There was no visible supply coming to them. They were dependent on God. He was their rock. He gave them water out of the rock. That's an impossibility. Water to feed 2 million people and the livestock that they were bringing that they used for sin offerings with water out of a granite rock. Their shoes, it says, wax not old. That's the clothing. Look at the way Elijah ministered to the widow who had no food. time and again, God provided. He fed Elijah with a raven. This is ridiculous. Here's a man with no source of food, and here comes a bird. You could set your watch by it. Here comes this raven in with food in his mouth. That's what the Bible teaches us. We are not dependent on money. You say you're talking nuts. I am not talking nuts. I am preparing us for the hour to come so that we don't panic and begin to scream and say we're going to die of exposure and there's nothing. We need to go back in our minds to what God has done when people had no visible source. People have walked through the sea. Those, you know, Jesus said, the works that I do shall he do in greater. You realize some of the works of the Old Testament were greater than Jesus did? Jesus healed the sick and worked miracles. But Joshua, the earth stopped its rotation. That's a galactic, that's a continental type planetary miracle. Now the book of Acts, I suppose, where they put out so Peter's shadow passing by or Paul's apron, the demons are, Jesus did not do that. Now maybe that's what he meant by the greater works. But when you get into works like the opening up of the Red Sea, now Jesus walked on the water, but God in that day, and that was Christ of course doing it, but in the spiritual realm, parted the Red Sea to these millions of people and then closed it in and destroyed the Egyptian army. Jesus walked on the water. He stopped the storm. We don't need these things now, but when we do, they'll be there if we stand on the rock and don't panic. Praise the Lord. Then he says, my fortress. Now we're going to see demon attacks and manifestations. I think the other day, I'm not sure, I get sometimes elusive little visions of things that pass by in my consciousness. You probably do too, but I got a little feeling of the rock and roll demons. Not much. Just a little prescience. I've heard, not prescience, a little vision, a little insight. I've heard people, you know, talk, read articles about rock and roll. I thought, yes, it's not good, and it's associated with drugs. It's associated with demonic things. There's no question about it that it is demonic in its essence. But this little thing that I saw so momentarily was hideous beyond words to describe. But something if you saw it would scare you out of 10 years' growth. It was hideous. Hideous. These things are hidden from our eyes. But if we could see them, they are horrible things. And when they are, man, I can't describe it in words, but when God shows you, you'll see what I'm talking about. When these things are revealed in people, you will be frightened out of your wits. You'll be frightened out of your wits at how horrible. It's not only the configuration of the face that is horrible, but it's the spirit that's carried with it of death and horror, the snares of death. And boy, I tell you, it's a nightmare. It's like the worst nightmare you ever had. But what do? We stand. Because a fortress is a place of defense. We don't have to get out and rebuke demons. All we have to do is stand in Jesus. And they cannot touch us. They can make faces at us. They can go boo or look at us from the walls. Or we look at the chair and it's a demon and we look away and we look back and it's a chair and we look and it's a demon. They're great at this stuff. Or the middle of the night, you wake up and there's just ice water running down your face or some other. They got all kinds of manifestations trying to get you to bite. Just trying to get you to bite. See if you get all excited and jump up and stand in your bed and jump up and down and start rebuking demons so they can have some fun. Just say, the Lord is my fortress. They can't touch you. All they can do is parade around. Unless you've got something in your life that you're doing that is not right. And then you see they've got an access. Now, Don't let them tell you there's something, but they're not going to tell you what it is, or just put a guilt trip on you. If you don't know what it is, forget it. But if you do know what it is, and you do know you're fooling around with something, just remember, Satan's trick is to remain anonymous until he decides it's more tactically shrewd to move. And he'll zap your case, and that weakness that you allow to fester in your life will give him an opening, and you'll be dragged through hell on wheels, praying to God to get the waters out of your soul. You keep your... Never commit a willful sin. That is, when you know something is wrong, it's never God's will that we commit a willful sin. Never. Never, never. Where's that expression? In Hebrews, if we sin willfully after knowledge of the truth. Any sin that God shows us, he gives us the power to overcome. Other than that, we remain, as Doug said, innocent. And where there's no condemnation. But when we know a thing that is wrong, then God wants it out, because whatever is not of faith is sin. Now, if you have something you're troubled about, and the devil, it might not be wrong at all, but the devil will use that to accuse you. And you can't give it up, because there's no grace there to give it up, because there's nothing wrong with it. It's just an accusation, or maybe a completely groundless accusation. In that case, you get yourself down to the saints and confess. And in confessing to older saints, it will even be manifest to you that it's obviously nothing to be concerned about. And you're just being cast down for no reason at all. God doesn't want us laboring under condemnation, because the Bible says there's no condemnation. But if you are doing something that is not of faith, whatsoever is not of faith is sin, Bible says, and so your conscience has been defiled. So if you know it's wrong, you have no choice. If you're going to walk in this overcoming life, you have to give it up. You're licked. You can't walk in known sin. The whole program will come to a screeching halt. You say, well, what'll I do? Doesn't go. Get up and let the saint pray for it. Still doesn't go. Fast and pray. Stay with it. Don't give up. Make yourself so miserable that you're happier giving it up. Well, you can. Just threaten the thing and say, if you do that once more, you're not eating for 3 days. Yeah, that's what Paul said, didn't he? I bruise my body, I beat under, I make up my slave. Don't go around and say, oh, I've tried. Well, we do that, you know, and it's all right. But God didn't call us to be triers. He called us to be conquerors. And Jesus has that power. But sometimes things will go easy. Pop, pop, pop. We just confess our sin. Zip, there it goes, right out the window. And then there comes a place where Satan decides to take a stand. He decides to take a stand. And it doesn't go out the window. And we pray and it doesn't go. We pray it doesn't go. And he's marshaling his forces, and he's got all his cousins and his relatives, and this is something that is important to Satan. And does that mean God changed his mind? Does that mean we're supposed to continue in sin and this one won't go, or it's a chronic situation? No. It merely means that that's a place where Satan decided that that's where he wants to fight. The rules haven't changed. The power hasn't changed. But he may have affected your faith where you begin to doubt. I don't think God can deliver me from this sin. Or I don't think God wants to. The same is true of sickness. We don't strive over it. We just go before it. Well, sickness you don't strive over. Sin, you may... God, it's not God's will that we walk in known sin. Whether it's fornication or lying or stealing, whatever it is, you stay with that thing because it will defile your conscience until God clears it out. And if you have a doubt about it, come and tell the saints. If you tell them 30 times, you stay with it. Stay with it till that thing is judged. It's not God's will to walk in known sin. So, if you are walking without known sin, you are in the fortress. Hell can't touch you. They can threaten. They can wake you up at night. You can hear maniacal laughter in your room at 2:30 in the morning. You can get such pressure on your mind, fears that this is going to happen, that's going to happen to you. And you know what you can do? Just rally yourself and laugh, because you are in an absolutely impregnable fortress. You cannot be touched. And even if you're doing something wrong and that comes on you, just get up there real quick and say, I confess this thing and repent of it. And the moment you do that, the fortress will take over. But if you regard iniquity in your heart, God will not hear you. You see? then you're weak. And the devil will use that little, maybe just a little thing, but he'll just use that thing and laugh at you because he's found a kindred spirit. Praise the Lord. So it's a strength. Doug said, the righteous are bold as a lion. Man, they're not afraid of the devil. But the wicked, a twig snaps, and off they run. That's right. Nobody's chasing them but their conscience. The Lord is my deliverer. And you know, when we were in India, I've never talked too much about healing or made too much of an issue about it. But I've always enjoyed it myself. I've enjoyed divine healing myself and my family and my wife. And God has been so good to us and has healed us miraculously of so many things. But I've never made a big issue of it. And I know some preachers make a big to-do about the thing. That's never been my style. But when we were in India, God spoke to me, I believe, that He wants His people healthy. God wants His people delivered. It says, David said, the Lord is my deliverer. And I don't care how long we have to insist on this, but I am insisting with the Lord that God manifest healing in this church. I will not compromise on that. I'm convinced that there is no sickness that a Christian experiences that it is not God's will to deliver. Now, I believe that Paul had an infirmity after the flesh. The best translations of Galatians, in my opinion, point this out. I'm not saying it's sin for a Christian to be sick. That's not true. I'm not saying there are not times when we may be sick, and through this, God gets a lot of mileage. I think the Bible indicates that it is true. Before I was afflicted, I went astray. But the Bible also says this, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. And I believe that. And I believe many times that we're not healed is because we've rationalized on some point, we have given up, it hasn't gone, and then the Satan, who loves interminable dialogue and interminable arguments, whenever anybody talks like that or the demons talk like that, it's because they're trying to make right wrong. When you get to the truth of a thing, you can say it in five words. When people go on at length, it's because they're trying to sell. Think about that. And the demons love interminable discussions because they're trying to alter that which is true. When a thing is true, it's true. You can say it and that's it. But if you're trying to do something with the truth other than the truth, then you've got to explain and explain and explain and explain and explain and explain and talk and talk. And that's what happens to us about healing. This demonic dialogue goes on all the time. Oh, it's this. Or you're suffering for other people. Or God doesn't care about the details. Or that's not important. Listen, God, Christ was beaten for our healing. By His stripes. You are healed. And that's just associated in Isaiah 53 with the atonement. And God wants us physically strong and well. Praise the Lord. I'm telling you, saints, it's true. I know that that is true. And if we were sick for a season, we can just say, all right, Lord, Your will be done. I can't heal myself. And I'm not going to strive. You know, hang on and I'll heal you. It's not that. But it's the calm and certain knowledge. Lord, this is Your body, this thing I'm carting around, and I know You don't want it sick. If I'm doing something to make it sick, teach me. But I give this thing to You. It does not belong in me. And never, never, never change your mind. And one day you'll get up in the morning, it'll be gone. It'll be gone. When you're healed, it's not psychical, it's not metaphysical, it's not Christian science, is do I got it or do I don't? It's solid, it's real, and it will work for you. And when you get healed, don't worry too much about the symptoms. When you feel the Lord begin to move in your body, and you can feel it, there's maybe a little jump or a quiver or something, all of a sudden, you know, there's a little something, then stride out on it, walk on the thing, go right out and move on it in a spirit of defiance. Not presumptuously, but when you know God is doing it. And after that, despise the symptoms. Just despise them. So it hurts a little. Big deal. Life is pain. A militant spirit, faith, and a calm trust in God, and you'll get your healing. Praise the Lord. And I don't care what it is, and I don't care how long you've had it. We just need to take a hold of our faith and get up and realize the Bible says God is our deliverer, and He will deliver us. He delivers us from them all. That's God's will. Praise the Lord. My God. We spoke about that before. We have many gods, many things. Money is one of the biggest gods in America. We don't realize it because it's so much a part of our culture. But you turn on the radio and you listen to it, and there's a high probability that if you listen to it three times at random, one of those times will be about interest. This goes on incessantly. The banks are the American altar. We don't realize that, but they are the American altar. That is the thing in which we trust. And if you watch, you'll see that the things in our culture are moved on the basis of money. Everything now is sacrificed on the basis of money. The end of education is money. The end of excellence is money. The end of everything is money. And if you don't believe this, what kind of a dumbbell are you? It is not so in every culture. I couldn't help being amazed at when we were in Iceland. You go in every home. There are very few televisions, but a lot of radios. But you know what you hear when you go in the home? Beethoven. Almost consistently, via Beethoven's symphony. They're on constantly, these people listening to them. How many times have you ever heard Beethoven on the television? If you heard Beethoven was an advertisement for an underarm deodorant or something else, and the end of it was money. The end of it was to make money for somebody. That's not the purpose of Beethoven, is to make money. There's a lot of things in life. I notice, in Iceland, because these people didn't seem to have quite the same crunch on it that we do. India maybe more so. They were a little more geared to it. But Iceland, their big thing was their sagas and their language. Do you know that you cannot introduce a new word into Icelandic? If a new invention is made, it has to go through their committee of language, and they decide what it shall be called. You cannot corrupt their language. You corrupt our language, you can introduce any term you want. If it appears in the newspapers, pick it up, and then it comes into the dictionaries that way. All countries are not the same. Our altars are our banks. And the voice of that demon is on the television, it's on the radio, talking to us constantly. This is where you put your money. This is where you put your money. Do this and you make more money. Now, this is where you bet. 10% interest, 9% interest. This cacophony goes on, and we think that that's par for the course. Now, that's a bad expression. That doesn't mean what it sounds like. It's not par. It sounds like it's the average or the norm. It's not the norm of life. We don't realize it, but the God of our nation is money. And the people worship every week at his altar. May God deliver us from that day. Make the Lord our God. There are things in the world beside money. And I don't know of anything of true value, whether it's love or joy or peace, that can be purchased with money. The only thing that money does is it gives us a security so that we don't need the Lord. It buttresses against the future. Provides that which God is supposed to provide. But it's so deep in our culture, it's the greatest dragon there is in America. May God deliver us from that thing until we can walk free in the land. God! The Lord is my God, not the bank. The Lord. My rock, it's repeated. Whenever the Holy Spirit repeats something like this in this proximity, it's because it's super important. The thing which cannot be shaken. The thing which will endure the flood. The thing which will endure the shaking. The rock. He cannot be moved. He cannot be shaken. His position cannot be eroded. It's not sand. It's rock. Granite rock. He stands when everything else beats around. My shield. My rock in whom I take refuge. We don't have to fight the devil. We don't have to rebuke the devil. We don't have to get all excited. We don't have to beat on our drums. We just take refuge in God and let Him fight. He does the fighting. My shield, that is the thing that we can move. The Bible speaks of the shield of faith. You know, you can choose to use the shield. As we become more mature in the Lord and as things tighten up, we're going to find that more and more the fiery darts of the enemy are getting pitched at us. And you know, when they come at you, you can push the panic button and say, oh God, you know, what's going to happen to me now? Or you can call to mind the promises of the Lord, call to mind the times that He has delivered you, and put up that shield. But it's an effort, because the temptation is to cave, is to run under the bed, it's to hide, it's to cower, is to call around and look around. Is this really going to happen? Isn't there some way out of this? That's the human thing, is to become frightened and panicky. But we have to, by just faith, just lift that up and say, God will not let this happen to me. Will not let, like Doug says, confront it. This is what's out there. Hold up the shield against the thing. It's God will not let this thing happen. And if He does, there'll be a way out. I don't have to be worried. If we don't do that, then in the days to come, the fear will enter in and we'll say, what is going to happen to me? And then we begin to cry and holler and take on, and then we become helpless and other people have to pick us up and have the courage for themselves and for us too. Praise the Lord, because we're so weak. The horn of my salvation. This isn't a New Year's Eve horn. It's talking about the fact that the Hebrews were animal husbandry was their line of endeavor, and they were used to goats and bulls and rams and animals that fought with their horns. And so the horn means that when you charge at something, that there's something takes place. When you begin to push in the spiritual realm, when you know the way things should go, you know the direction they should go. We're not to be passive. We're not to be fatalistic about the things that are happening in our country. We're to push. God has given us a spiritual horn, if we could see it, and it hurts in the spiritual realm. And when we begin to throw our weight against a thing, things begin to happen. We must never become fatalistic. Now, this KMJC, I believe God wants us on this station. I believe God wants us on the station. But we're going to have to just keep praying and pushing. We don't take things for granted. Praise the Lord. The man called me again last week. You know, just keep on pressing ahead in the Lord. We need to just keep, just believe. I believe that's God's will until God shows us differently. When we meet on Wednesday, we're trying to learn. See, when you pray, there's intercession. That's praying for other people. There's praise and worship, adoring God. There's supplication when you want something. There's entreating the Lord. There's the cry for mercy. There's all kinds of prayers that we utter. There's times when we're just quiet and we recognize He is God in heaven. The earth is keeping silence before Him. But there is a prayer of war. There's a prayer of war. And that's when the horn, see, as a bull wouldn't be very impressive without his horns. He just a lot of hamburg on the hoof. But see, the bull has got something on the front of his face that is very businesslike, and he knows how to use it. I don't know if you've ever seen goat's lock horn. How many have ever seen goat's lock horns? That's an astonishing thing, isn't it? The nature, the way they do, they have a certain way that they duck their head in. I mean, even when they're playing, they smack their heads together. They have the headache of the year. But they seem to be just built. They just eat a little goat, so play that way. And they just get back and bang their heads together. And it's a fearsome sight. And when a bull puts his head down and decides, you know, to move God's will in a certain direction, boy, people get out of the way because he's got something there on his head. And we do too, and we don't realize it. But when we get, like on a Wednesday or Friday, when we're praying, not asking God, God help me, deliver me, there's a time for that. But when we pray now, we just got the Asian Outreach magazine that some of you may be getting. Brother Marley subscribed for us, and one of the most marvelous magazines, and it's talking about people in Southeast Asia. And Southeast Asia, and in fact, much of Asia, is wide open today. We could have preached in India, we could have preached in 25 times the places we preached if we'd have had the time and the strength. The place is wide open. It hasn't always been like that. It's wide open. And they're just begging you to come. Would you come with us? I'm with all the people in the village. Would you just come? It's wide open. And it used to be you went into some places like this at the peril of your life. And now Southeast Asia is like that, and other places that you don't hear of too much. But I can't remember all the name Sundanese comes to me. This is a large nation of people that is relatively untouched, but they're very tuned into the supernatural. If anybody can come and do supernatural works, the Sundanese will listen to them. They worship spirits, animism, and there's other. Audrey, do you remember any of the other members of that Asian outreach? And for the first time in history, 50 years ago it wasn't true, for the first time, there doesn't seem to be any block. You can go right in there, and if the people are either apathetic, or they'll listen. If you can work miracles, they'll really listen in that section of the world. But see, it didn't used to be like that. The communists were against you, or the government was against you, or this, that, and the other. But right at this time in history, millions upon millions and millions of people, whether somebody's prayed through or what, I don't know, are there willing to be taught. They have a kind of a watered-down version of Buddhism, and in some case, Mohammedanism, that's mixed with animism and really is going nowhere. Just waiting for people to come. And when we get in here on Wednesday, that's the time. You know, sometimes we can pray through things at home and spend the time and get down for these people. Next Wednesday, if maybe Audrey will bring that magazine, The Age of Outreach, and you can just take the names of those tribes and just get down and begin to push with the horn of the Spirit. God, you know, push against the darkness and pray. Pretty soon the burden will come upon you. You begin to feel that resistance in the spiritual realm. And you get down and you begin to pray, and things will work in that land, in those lands. And people go. If they would go with signs and wonders in those parts of the world, the people will flock. Because anyone who can work miracles, that's what they're interested in, is the miraculous. And the Bible is a book of the miraculous. They don't want to hear words. They want to see somebody that can do it. Praise the Lord. And when we get down there and begin to push in the spiritual realm, the Lord is the horn. The Lord is the horn. And if we could see what happens in the spiritual realm, when we get down, we begin to say, Jesus, help the people in India. Help the Sundanese. Macau was another one. This is a Portuguese colony near Hong Kong. Now for the first time, the people of Macau are ready, wide open, millions of people. And they're also in a social ferment. They're in an economic ferment. These places are building. Hong Kong is building. These places are in all, it just volatile. They're not established. They're ready for religion. They're ready for economics. They're ready for Marxism. They're ready for whoever brings what. Southeast Asia is ready for the gospel. And we may be able to go, but there's one thing we can do. We can get down and begin to do spiritual warfare, that God will open the doors for people to go to these places. Praise the Lord. The Lord is the horn, my stronghold. I will call upon the Lord. I call upon the Lord. We do not call upon ourselves. We do not try to work the moves. We do not take all the things we've read in books and heard on cassettes. We don't try to apply spiritual principles. We don't get it all figured out. If we do this, God will do that. We don't come up with the answer to Southeast Asia. We don't do any of these things because God is always looking for an original. He's always ready to do something that He has never done before. In a way that He has never done it before. And the book of Acts and missionary stories and cassettes and books can be an inspiration to us. What God did with Hudson Taylor, what God did with Finney, what God did with in Wales. These are inspirations to see it's possible and it's happened. But God wants to do something in Southeast Asia, in Macau, in India, and in North America, I believe, Ralph Mahoney says he has this vision for North America. And I believe he's right on. And God doesn't want to do the same as He's ever done before. One of the last revivals in America was
a prayer, noon prayer meeting that started and just broke out till everybody's meeting at noon. That was great for them. But that isn't today. God wants to do something with you and with me as an individual, and maybe in some cases collectively, that He has never done before. Never has done before. We are in the time of the Bible, the end time. What the Bible says, that there, when the two witnesses, for example, begin, then there will be these tremendous disasters that are coming upon the earth. That's without precedent, but it's prophesied that it will come to pass before Jesus comes. We're in the time of the latter rain. The nations are opening. That's the hand of God, because in the church of Philadelphia, which I believe we're in, what God says is this: I have set before you an open door. See, we're in the church of Philadelphia. I do not believe we're in Laodicea yet. We're in the time when God is making pillars in the temple of God. We're close to the hour of temptation, when Jesus says, I will keep you from the hour of temptation. That is, from the proliferation of sin and lawlessness. This all happens during Philadelphia, the church of brotherly love, the time when God stresses the unity of the body of Christ. And God said to that church, I have set before you an open door. Praise the Lord. And I believe that we better look to our business, because it won't be open forever. It was not at the turn of this century. It is now. I want to make sure I didn't miss anything that he said to that. To Philadelphia. I have put before you an open door. And he says, you have a little power. And then he says, those who are the synagogue of Satan. And we see that all over the place. We say, what's the use of even doing anything? There's so much false doctrine. There's so many that are just preaching for money. And in this church, during Philadelphia, God says, I'll put an end to it. I'm going to make them to come and acknowledge the true God. Like it was said this morning, a prophecy that God was going to expose that cult that Joan was talking about. And it's patience. I'll keep you from the hour of temptation, and that hour is coming. And this is the place where Jesus says, don't let anyone take your crown. See, that's what is an issue today. God wants overcomers, people who can rule, and it is people who will take it from you. They will talk you out of it. They will tell you it is impossible. We have to buck the synagogue of Satan. We don't have a great deal of power. It isn't being manifested. But we have some. And God has set before us an open door. And I believe if we as individuals will refuse to believe in anything except worldwide revival, that we're going to have it. It's up to us. This is the hour. The doors are opening. Man, I went to India expecting to be persecuted. I expected that, you know, you'd have to watch what you were doing. How could I know we were going to be led through villages in a parade with drums beating, open arms? How long will that be true? We want the miraculous. Jesus, Lord God, Lord, you have shown us the crowns in our generation, Lord, that no one at the peers has even known about prior to this time. You have recognized, Lord, that we have a little strength. We do not shine like the apostles, but we have some. And God, you said that you had set before us an open door. And Lord, we can see it with our eyes. We can see it. There is opportunity to go into so many nations that was not possible even a short time ago. Lord, we have to know your will. We have to know your will, Lord. Praise your name. Praise your name. Praise your name. Avarakahanda lalavakahashi ki sili araba. Didn't even preach on what I had plan tonight. Lord God. Lord God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise your name. Praise your name. Saints, I want us to lift up our sights tonight. We spend a lot of time praying about our own needs and talking about our own needs, and that's proper because there's so much problems today. If we didn't, we'd wear ourselves to death. But we need to have time to concentrate on what is outside of us. Hallelujah. On untold millions of people who have hardly heard the name of Jesus, if they've even heard it. And that's got to be a burning passion in this church. It's got to be as frontlets before our eyes at all times. Hallelujah. Let's look to the Lord tonight. Maybe He wants to use you or me. Lord, I'm concerned because it is apparent that Southeast Asia is wide open to the gospel, Lord. Hallelujah. Let's begin to push a little bit tonight, saints, with the horn of the Lord. With the horn of the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Praise your mighty name, Jesus. Oh, yes, Lord. You tell the Lord what door you want to go through. You tell Him whether it's a nation or some form of ministry. Push. Push. With the horn of the Lord. Tell God what you want. Praise His name. Make way, Lord. Hallelujah. We push, Lord, in your name. Hallelujah. Let the ark of God go forward. We need help, Lord. Hallelujah. Help us to push through, Lord God, those needs that are there. Lord, in Jerusalem and in Samaria and in all Judea and under the uttermost parts of the earth. Hallelujah. Oh God, Lord, we pray, open the doors. Open the doors. Open the doors. Open the doors. Open the doors, Father. Hallelujah. Make a way for Thine anointed. Make a way, Lord. Answer prayer. Answer the needs that are here, Lord. The burdens for ministry. Make a way, Lord. Make a way in India, Lord. Oh, God. Oh, God, march through the land. Thou and Thine anointed, Lord. It's time, Lord. It's time. It's time, Lord, for every village to hear the word. Praise your name. Praise your name. Praise your name. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. For Macau, Lord, we pray. That colony, Lord. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Lord. Lord. Move that thing, Lord. Move that thing, Lord. Hallelujah. Give open doors, Lord. Give open doors, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Lord, we pray for mainland China, Lord. 1 billion people, Lord. 1 billion people. Oh, God. Oh, God, open the doors. Open the doors. Oh, God, hallelujah. Give a government, Lord, that is sympathetic with the gospel. Yes, Jesus. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Open the doors. One last revival, Lord. Open the doors. Open the doors. Open the doors. Open the doors, Lord. Hallelujah. And move on many laborers, Lord, to enter in. Hallelujah. 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 Open the doors in Tibet, Lord. Open the doors. Send your people in. Send your people in. Send your people in, Lord. Send them in. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Send them in, Lord. We'll go, Lord. Whoever, Lord. Send them in. Send them in. Hallelujah. Lay that thing open, Lord. Rive it to the heart. Yes, Lord. Rive it to the heart, Lord, with the horn of the Lord. Hallelujah. We push against that government, Lord. In Thy name. In Thy name. In Thy name. Give entrance, Lord. Give entrance in the name of Jesus. Give entrance in the name of Jesus. Give entrance in the name of Jesus. Oh, yes, Lord. 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 Oh, God. Oh, God. Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus. Lord God. Move, Lord. Move it, Lord. Hallelujah. Jesus. Lord, the Sundanese people, Lord. Move on their behalf. Move on their behalf, Lord. Send miracle workers into that land. Send miracle workers in. Miracle workers. Miracle workers. Miracle workers. Restore the miraculous, Lord. Restore the miraculous, Lord. Restore the miraculous, Lord. Restore it. Restore it. Restore it. Hallelujah. Oh, God. Oh, God. Oh, God. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Oh, God. Oh, God. Oh God. Oh God. Abaraka handala bakaha sili arabahaya. Kili arabahandalabaha shili arabahaya rabaka handala bakaha si. Iki sili arabahaya rabaka handala baha sili arabahaya. Oh God. Oh God. Oh God. Strengthen. Strengthen thy people. Strengthen thy people. Signs and mighty wonders. Glorify thy name. Jesus, open up the doors in front of thy people. Lord God. Lord God. Lord God. Lord God. Let your horn be mighty, Lord. Let it push forward, Lord. Cause your enemy to be driven back, Lord. Yes, Lord. Lord God. Lord God. Jesus. 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 Jesus, Jesus, Havaraka Hasilia. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, yes, Lord. Lord, we pray for revival in the United States, Lord. We pray for revival in our nation, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord. Praise your name. We come against the demons of money, the worship of money. We stand against this thing. Stand against it. Lord God, strike it down. 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 Avaraka handalavaka hasilia. Lord, drive your enemies out of this nation. Drive them out, Lord. Drive them out, Lord. Drive them out, Lord. Drive them out, Lord. Yes, Lord. We come against it in the name of Jesus. We come against it in the name of Jesus. Yes, Lord. Punish your enemy, Lord. Pound him out. Drive him out. Force him out. Oh, God. Oh, God. Oh, God. Yes, Lord. Drive this thing out of our nation. Drive it out of our country. Oh, God, the great God Mammon, we come against it. We come against it. We come against it. Jesus. 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 We come against it, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes. Yes. Yes, Lord. We come against this, God. Yes, Lord. Lord Jesus. Lord, we come against the false doctrine in our country, Lord. The spirit of religious delusion, Lord. We pray, Lord, you will drive it out of our nation. Drive it out of our nation, Lord. The false doctrine. False preaching. False preaching. Lying ministry. The synagogue of Satan. We come against it, Lord, in thy name. We come against it in the name of Jesus. We come against it in the name of Jesus. We come against it in the name of Jesus. Oh, God, we come against this stuff that is preached, Lord, on the radio, all over the land, Lord. The synagogue of Satan will stand against it. They say they are Jews, and they are not, Lord. We stand against it. We stand against it. We stand against it. The spirit of religious delusion. The spirit of religious delusion. Spirit of religious delusion. Spirit of religious delusion. Spirit of religious delusion. We stand against it. We stand against it. We stand against it. In the name of Jesus. 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 Hallelujah. 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 Lord God, Lord God, Lord, we come against the spirit of entertainment in this country, Lord. The spirit of entertainment, Lord. More and more entertainment. More and more games. And spiritual apathy. And Lord, we stand against it. We thrust against it. We pray that you will rive it to the heart, Lord. Rive it. Smash it, Lord. Tear it down. Tear down this thing. Tear down this God. Tear down this God, Lord. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Spirit of entertainment. We stand against it in the name of Jesus. We stand against it in the name of Jesus. We stand against it in the name of Jesus. We stand against it. We stand against this thing. In the name of Jesus. 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 Hallelujah. We thrust against it, Lord. We push against it. We push against it. In the name of the Lord. Drive it out from us. Drive it out from us. Drive it out from this country. Drive it into the ocean, Lord. Cursed thing, we curse it in the name of Jesus. We curse it in the name of Jesus. We curse it in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Praise God. 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 Are you pushing? Push against the things that are wrong, that you know are wrong. Abortion and licentiousness, lewdness. Push against them. The Lord is the horn of our strength. We do not accept these things. We do not accept them, Lord. Pray that you'll remove them. Go forth to war, Lord. Pray that you'll remove them. We push against them in the name of Jesus. Push against them in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord. Bring down this ungodliness. Bring down this thing. Bring down this filth. Bring down this murder. Bring down these things that are wrong. We push against them in the name of Jesus. We push against them in the name of the Lord. We push against them in the name of the Lord. We push against them in the name of the Lord. We push against them in the name of the Lord. We push against them in the name of the Lord. Yes, Lord. Drive them out of our land. Bring them to an end. Oh, God. Oh, God. Oh, God. Oh, God. We push against them. Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Drive them out of our land. Drive them out of our land. Drive them out of our land. Ungodly things. We push against them in the name of the Lord. We push against them in the name of Jesus. We'll not have them. We'll not have them in our country. We push against them. Bring them to an end. Bring them to an end. Hallelujah. 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 We've got a war against it. We will not have it. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Push against them. Push against these things. In the name of Jesus. Push against them. In the name of Jesus. Oh, yes, Lord. Oh, yes, Lord. Oh, yes, Lord. Oh, yes, Lord. Oh, God. Oh, God. Oh, God. Oh, God. Oh, God. Bring an end to these things, Lord. Ungodliness. Yes, Lord. The atheistic spirit in our land. We push against it. It's wrong. Lord, in thy name, we push against it. Drive it out from our country. Drive it out from our country. Drive it out of our nation. Hallelujah. Ungodly thing. Ungodly thing. Ungodly thing. Yes, Lord. Drive it out from us. Yes, Lord. We will not have these things. Oh, God. We push, Lord, with thy horn, Lord. The horn of God. Yes, Lord. Drive them out from our nation. Yes, Lord. Cause them to be ground to powder. Brought under your feet, made as fine dust, destroyed from your presence. Yes, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Yes, Lord. Oh, yeah. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Yes. Amen. Amen. Saints, I think the Lord is saying to us that if we will persevere in prayer and not take things sitting down, but let's go after Him, that God will do what we say. God will do what we say. He hears us, and He'll do what we say. Praise the Lord. Oh, Father, teach us to pray, Lord. Teach us to pray. Give everyone in this church, Lord, spirit of battle, spiritual war. Make our hands so strong that a bow of steel will be broken. Teach our hands to war, Lord.
Teach our hands to war. Teach our hands to war. Teach us to pray that we may overcome the enemy and drive him from the face of the earth. Yes, Lord. Praise God. Praise God. Praise the Lord. It is the time to take the kingdom. Rise up, ye strong, 'tis Christ's command. For every power and dominion is given now into your hand. He that hath ears to hear the trumpet, he that hath heart to understand, it is the time to take the kingdom. Rise up, ye strong, possess the land. Shall we stand to sing it once more unto the Lord? Hallelujah. Do you believe it? It's the time. The time. We're in the time. Hallelujah. It is the time to take the kingdom. Rise up, ye strong, 'tis Christ's command. For every power and dominion is given now into your hand. He that hath ears to hear the trumpet, he that hath heart to understand, it is the time to take the kingdom. Rise up, ye strong, possess the land. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. 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 From here on, until Jesus comes and the earth is ours. Blessed be God. Blessed be God. My God shall crush Satan under your feet shortly. It's the time, and let it begin with us to take the kingdom. Hallelujah. Praise God. The victory is ours. It's already written in the book. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm going to ask Joe Preddy if he will conclude in prayer tonight.
Jesus, there's victory in you, O Lord.
Yes, Lord.
You, O Lord.
Yes, Lord.
You, O God.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
You,
Lord. Yes, Lord.
You, Lord.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Oh God. Yes, Lord. 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 Amen. The earth is ours. Blessed be God. Hallelujah.